Assisting to develop career pathways for legal refugees here in Colorado is one of the principal activities of the Spring Institute for Intercultural Learning. Another service is assisting foreign medical professionals to become licensed here, along with the organization's principal focus being providing language interpretation for companies and government agencies. Greetings again, I'm Adam Morgan. Despite the misinformation being circulated, the majority of refugees in America are here legally, as well as most immigrants registering to follow the laws of the process to become citizens. As they all progress, translating refugee skills into careers is essential. This is one of the outreaches of the Spring Institute's Career Pathways program. Sharing additional career pathway insights and language interpretation support information, continuing with us again is the organization's president and CEO, Ms. Paula Schrieffer.
It's called the presidential determination, and really it's a cap that every president every year has the opportunity to say, okay, this is the maximum number of refugees that we're going to allow into our country over the next year.
Yeah.
And typically that number has been around 100,000 to 125,000. The U.S. Mm-hmm. easily has the ability to resettle that number of refugees all across our country. And, you know, one of the reasons that we can do that as a nation is because refugees are the agencies that help resettle them, and the agencies like ours mm-hmm. that help them integrate into our society have been so successful at helping refugees become economically stable and prospering even.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that over time, although we invest a little bit in them in the first few years, over time, they end up becoming employed, starting businesses, they have families. They pay back into our system much more than
wow.
we invest in them early on. And so we know that our country can do this and can do it safely and can do it well. So that's why we had said to this administration, hey, we should go back and set a normal determination, a normal
yeah.
number of refugees that we can easily resettle as a nation. And we pushed for that 125,000 number.
Well, that and said, oh, that's a good idea. I wasn't sure that it was Colorado only or across the
nope.
entire country.
That's across the entire country. And typically,
okay.
Colorado will receive about 2% of the refugees who are resettled nationwide, between 2 and 10. So in typical years, the state of Colorado was receiving anywhere between 1,500 and 2,000 refugees
sure.
Coming here to Colorado. So just a smaller percentage of that.
I want to ask you about some of your other wonderful programs you have there. Tell us about HIPPE, your early childhood education program. I love
yes.
the name.
It's such a wonderful program. It's called Home Instruction for parents of preschool youth or youngsters. And it's really a program that targets typically low-income families who often under-participate in preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And as here in Colorado, only recently did we create a universal preschool program. And even through that program, of course, we still have roughly half of our kids who are not actually enrolled in preschool. So recognizing that that kids need to be prepared to enter kindergarten, and they need to start developing literacy skills, they need to start developing social skills that
yeah.
will allow them to succeed when they get into kindergarten, the HIPPE program is really neat, and it takes that kind of training right to the parents. And our home visitors go into the homes of families with kids under the age of 5
mm-hmm.
who are trying to prepare those kids to get ready for kindergarten. And every week, the home visitor works with that, with at least one parent in their home language,
wow.
in addition to English.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
I was gonna ask you about that.
And teaches them a curriculum that allows their kids to start identifying shapes and colors and start reading books for the first time and just gaining the kinds of skills that little kids need to go into kindergarten and be successful.
I want to ask you about your career pathways again. It looks like you have
yeah.
three areas that comprise career pathways, two are employment and upskilling related, and the other one is healthcare. Is that correct?
Yeah, so healthcare has been a big area for us just because so many of the immigrants and refugees that come to Colorado have training and expertise in healthcare. They were licensed doctors, nurses, pharmacists, all that kind of stuff in their home country, and a lot of times think that they can come here and just start working again in that field. But we make it super, super hard for people to get relicensed here in the United States. But we have huge need. And so we know it's a win-win if we can get these individuals relicensed or recredentialed so that they can get working and not only filling in gaps in the healthcare sector that we have, which is really important, but they also provide, you know, culturally and linguistically competent care because our population is so much more diverse now. So that's healthcare is a big area. We also work a lot with people with education backgrounds, and oftentimes our family members, particularly those individuals who are mothers of small children, they want to work in a field where their kids are on basically the same work schedule that they're in. And many of them had education backgrounds in their home country. So that's another area that we work in. And then just overall, we work with people who are in our English classes on, you know, how do you apply for jobs? How do you write resumes here in the U.S.? How do you interview? It's just an important life skill that almost all of our families can benefit from, regardless of what sector they might be looking for employment in.
And now regarding the healthcare, I had two friends who moved here from London to be with their kids that were closer, and she was a, you know, licensed medical doctor in the UK, and she couldn't get relicensed here, or she'd have to go back to school for the whole 4 years or something again. It was amazing.
They basically have to kind of start over, and they have to take and pass all three of the board exams. But the big thing is that we make them match to residencies again, even if they were, you know, a practicing physician and they passed the board exams and they passed the English exam that's specialized for physicians, then they still have to match to residencies. And it's just so difficult to do because our whole residency system is built around our medical schools. So we run a really, really cool program in partnership with Denver Health, where Denver Health provides a 9-month clinical training program for these physicians who've done all these things. They've passed their board exams, they've passed their English exam, they've had their credentials evaluated from their home countries. And so by getting them this clinical training, we've been really successful in getting those folks to be able to match to residencies here in Colorado, which is huge because, you know, we have whole counties in our state that don't have a single physician.
Wow.
And so of our first cohort who went through that clinical training program, and I will say it's a very competitive program because it's very expensive to provide, you know, clinical training for young physicians. But of the first four people who went through it, three of them matched to residencies here in Colorado, in different parts of the state, in Pueblo, out on the Western Slope, and up in Thornton, and all of them serving underserved communities. So it's been a really cool program.
Yeah. Back to your other career pathways. With all the high interest in computer AI, do you have students seeking that particular pathway, or should I make the question even better? What's the leading career path that some of your clients may be seeking to position themselves for?
Well, definitely we have folks who have a background and are interested in AI. Because we're a relatively small nonprofit organization, we have got a staff of about 40 and they all work on different things. We often will refer them into programs at places like Emily Griffith Technical College or other local community colleges and help explain to them, you know, how they can get enrolled in there, what tuition is going to be, what they can expect to earn from such a career, et cetera. So we don't do everything ourselves. Partnerships are hugely important to us.
Sure.
And so in those situations, if they're not in education or if they're not in healthcare, we will then refer them and get them to other partners who can help them get that credential.
Okay, you're about halfway through your regular year. What current programs that you have going on that's having the impact that you expected them to have so far this year, and you're looking forward to those increasing in the next year or at least in the next 6 months until this particular year is done?
Well, the programs we've been talking about have been really busy this year, the career pathways.
Yeah.
What's been surprising to us this year is that we have not seen a big drop in our English students. So our adult education team has been super busy. We've had wait lists, but we've had just wonderful, wonderful students, English students this year. Interestingly, we have seen a decline in beginning English students. Usually we have more beginners.
Yeah.
We've seen more advanced, intermediate and advanced folks this year, and that might be a reflection of what's happening on sort of the immigration enforcement front. But we've been really pleased to have really, really great. We typically serve about 400 adult learners every year through our English classes,
mm-hmm.
and we will hit that mark for sure. This year in 2025. And our youth program has just been fantastic this year. We were able to hire on a social worker for the first time this year. We help immigrant and refugee youth both with their physical health and their behavioral health.
Yeah.
And for the first time, we've been able to have a caseworker on staff who, for those youth who are really experiencing mental health issues, we can get them directly connected to care that they need and, you know, help their families understand that mental health is no different than physical health.
Yeah.
And it's just something normal that people need to be able to access care. And so that's been a really cool thing that's happened this year.
In the current environment, are you seeing more need for or a rise in community-based support organizations like yours, where the Fed is not going to be doing it anymore for just a short period of time, but are you seeing mm-hmm. a better need for that? And are you seeing those people growing and having the impact that we think they can
have?
Well,
I think that the need has definitely been increasing this year for really almost all of our services. There's already, I would say, a pretty substantial network of organizations that provide supports. But I think because of the federal funding cuts, a lot of groups are struggling financially more than they have in the past. So, you know, we partner with food banks quite a bit. Many of the community members that we serve have been experiencing food insecurity this year. And, you know, there's been unprecedented demand, certainly not just from immigrants, but from all Coloradans who are experiencing food insecurity. So I think what we're seeing is there's lots of organizations out there doing amazing stuff and having amazing impact. But there's no question that the cuts in federal funding have been hurting the nonprofit sector.
How can people help support Spring Institute? What can they do? Can they come help you teach? Can they do languages for you? Can they just, how can people contact and what can they do to help the organization?
Yeah, so all of those things. We absolutely need and love and appreciate the volunteers who come and work with our English teachers in almost all of our classes. We have volunteers that come and help those teachers and help those students. We use volunteers in our youth programs and people who need to help our youth get up to the mountains for the very first time and go and escort them on hikes and visits to museums and other partners that we have around the Denver area.
Ms. Paula Schrieffer, she's been with us again, following up with additional insight to the Spring Institute Language Translation Services and Career Pathway Support for Legal Refugees. You can volunteer or support the work of the Spring Institute, especially with language translation, by initially going online to springinstitute.org. That's springinstitute, one word, .org. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch. And many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.